Dear ones, for this afternoon's reading, our meditation, let us turn to the Second Kings, chapter number 5. Second book of the Kings, chapter number 5. Ljubazno želim da se pročita iz druge knjige Carevima, 5. glava. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules, burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. And this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master hath spared Naaman this Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? And he said, All is well, my master hath sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. And Naaman said, Be content, take two talents. And he urged them and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments, and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Dear ones, the chapter opens up here. It's a chapter that is quite spectacular, but also quite tragic when we read it to its end. And when we come upon this reading, dear ones, it takes us back to, as it talks here about Naaman, Ahab was one of the most wicked of the kings of Israel. And he had totally given in to his wife Jezebel, who led him into idolatry and to all kinds of evil practices. He turned from God, followed his wife headlong into sin. But it was Assyria that had been a thorn in his side, but he was always able to somehow hold off the Assyrians in their quest to overtake them. And we see here, though, that when he went to take over Ramoth-Gilead, that when Ahab went into that battle, that it was Assyrians who had, the Bible tells us there was an arrow that was sent out, and it found Ahab, and exactly as Elijah had prophesied that he would die, he died in that manner. And it makes us wonder as we read this. It says, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Makes us wonder, is it his arrow that had found Ahab that had delivered Israel into the Assyrians' hands? Regardless, Naaman was a great man, it says. The king had given him great honor, had moved him along in the ranks. He was very wealthy, very well respected. He had it made in the eyes of anyone. Anyone would have wanted to be like Naaman. Famous, fortune, honored. You want to be like Naaman. But it tells us he was a mighty man of valor. But, and this is where now no one wants any part of Naaman. He can keep his valor, he can keep his wealth, he can keep his positions, whatever it is, because he's a leper. No one wants to be Naaman now. And it is that but that it tells us of who Naaman is, that we are also. We are also lepers, sinners. No hope. There's no hope for Naaman. Up to this point, there had never been a healing of a leper that had taken place. Never had been done. He was without hope. Dear ones, as a sinner, you can say, I have this, I have this. I have goods, I have the rich man who said, knock down the bars, barns, build the bigger ones. I have it made. But he was a sinner. It wipes out everything that you have, everything that you've attained, any status, anything is wiped out. Who wants to be Naaman? No one. Why? He's a leper. Who wants to be a sinner? Well, that's a problem. If we understood what sin was, if we fully comprehended its ugliness, its doom, its hopelessness, we would want no part of it. But we get deceived into looking at the glamour of Naaman, looking at his life. I want that. And we forget that he's a leper. And so, dear ones, as we move along in this chapter, we find it tells that the Syrians had gone out. They took captives of the Israelites. And it tells us they took a little maid. And this little maid has no name for us to know by name. It hasn't been given to us. But what we see in this little maid here is that what we prayed actually this morning, the brother led us in prayer, in the morning prayer. He said that our faith, we prayed that our faith would be real. A real faith. A faith that lives for the things that we know and are firmly persuaded in. A faith that transforms lives. A faith that believes in things that aren't seen. Is what this little maid had. Because we have to keep in mind, as she speaks here, she's a maid and she waited on Naaman's wife. So this little girl was taken out of Israel, away from her family, away from her mom and dad, away from her brothers, sisters, cousins, whatever life she knew, she's not in it anymore. She was taken, she was sold. She was bought by Naaman's wife, or Naaman, whoever. And she became a servant, a slave, to Naaman's wife. She could have had all kinds of bitterness. She could have had hatred. She could have had vengeance. She could have had all kinds. Her life was turned inside out, upside down. But we see in her a forgiveness. In a little maid, there's forgiveness. And there's faith. She said, what prompted her? She had never seen a leper get cleansed. But listen to what she says. Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria. If only Naaman, my Lord, with the small L, my master, if he was with the prophet that is in Samaria, he would recover him of his leprosy. That took a tremendous amount of faith. A faith in a God that this prophet she knew was serving. Saw him. Heard of him. Whatever it was. She believed in the God that this prophet served. Something that had never been done before. She said, if my Lord were to go to him, he would be healed. And it tells us here then that someone came and told, might have been the wife, might have been the mistress. But they tell Naaman, thus and thus said the Lord, said the maid, that is of the land of Israel. And so what does Naaman do? He goes to the king of Syria. his master. He's not told to go to the king. And the king prepares a letter to send them to the king of Israel. He wasn't instructed to go to Israel's king. He was instructed to go to Israel's prophet. But he was going to go in the manner in which we see here later that this man is proud. Has leprosy, but is proud. As he goes to the king of Assyria prepares a letter, sends him to the king of Israel, and he takes with him, it says here, an enormous amount of goods, talents, 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. He's loaded, loaded. This is just something that he has that he can depart with without even feeling it. Everyone wants to be like Naaman except the leprosy. So he brings it to the king and says, when his letter has come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou, the king, mayest recover him of his leprosy. This is what man does. Because man wants to bypass that which is humiliating and come up with avenues of their own in order to be saved. You can't bypass the cross to be saved. There is no man-made religion that will save you. There's nothing that man can invent. There's nothing that man can lead you to if he doesn't lead you to the cross of Jesus Christ. And so Naaman went to the king of Israel. The king of Israel hears what it's saying, and he rent his clothes and said, am I God? He's being asked to do something that no one has ever done. He says, I'm not God. I can't do this. He must be seeking a fight with me. And so Elisha hears this. And he says, and he sent a messenger to the king, tells him, why'd you rent your clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel, a prophet that believes in God, that serves God, whose life is God. So Naaman directs his horses, his chariot. He comes to the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha doesn't answer the door. He sends a messenger to him and says, go, wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Here's Naaman, a great man, wealthy, powerful, positions, everything. He's being spoken down to. I got to go to the what? I'm expecting this prophet to come out, do some waving of the hands and whatever it might be, and say, be cleansed. Some kind of theatric, something that's going to be an impressive show upon him as a recipient of some great work, because he is Naaman. He's a man of great valor. He's a great man. Some great thing is going to happen now to me so that I can be made clean. And what? You're telling me go to the Jordan? You're not even coming out? You're going to slight me in that way? You're not even going to come and face me? Who are you? And he says he was wroth. That is anger. That's burning, burning anger. And he goes away. Forfeits cleansing. Forfeits it. Why? Pride. Pride. The brother followed in the prayer again this morning that we should humble ourselves. That is the only way to the heart of God, to humble ourselves. You cannot come to God, as Naaman will find out here. You cannot be cleansed. You cannot be made whiter than snow unless you humble yourselves in the sight of God. I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over this place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Jerusalem? And he's right. They are. He didn't say anything wrong here. But what is wrong is he's not following the path that was given to him for cleansing. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He went away a leper, angry, raging, mad, that he's being slighted by a prophet in Israel. To go dip himself into muddy, shallow, muddy river. Not one time, not two, not five, not six, seven times. What's that going to produce? And all his servants are around him. Are they going to go back with him and tell this story of how Naaman dunked himself seven times in this muddy river and he still has leprosy? So Naaman doubted. Why? Because he wasn't broken. He cannot understand because religion is exactly that. Religion is actually something that will make you believe in something. So he thought it was the act of the dunking that was actually going to produce the cleansing. And he found out, no, that's not it. It's what this little maid had, is faith. It's the faith that will cleanse you. When you go to the cross, when we go to the cross, it's our faith that Jesus will meet me at the cross, at Calvary, and cleanse me. How? How did the muddy Jordan cleanse Naaman? No one can answer that. No one can answer that. That's God's work. How can we go to the cross and be cleansed? How can the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse me of my sin? That's a mystery. But it's a faith. It's the faith in him, in his blood, that gives me the cleansing. The servants come near and they try to talk sense into him. Naaman, stop. What are you doing? Dear ones, we can look at Naaman's first initial reaction. And my dear friends, you know, if you're told that you have to repent in order to see God, you're being asked to do something that goes against your flesh. Brothers and sisters, when we are asked to repent, we're asked to do something that goes against the flesh. Because a man must be humbled in order to repent. You cannot repent if you're not humbled. Naaman had to be humbled in order to find the cleansing. God was not going to produce a different way for him. Did the prophet Elisha come out and say, wait, come back here. Okay, fine. Go to the rivers in Damascus. Fine. But just go and do it. No, he let him go. This is the way. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is life. There's only one way. There's only one way for Naaman to find cleansing for his leprosy. And there was not going to be another way offered. He makes a choice. Will I go or will I not? And so, as he is told, Dear ones, is that sometimes our reaction too? If a brother comes to me and says, "Brother, your life, you reacted this way, you exhibited this, you did this." Is our reaction to brush him aside? Because that's what Naaman's reaction was. And he robbed himself of a cleansing by refusing to listen to godly advice, an instruction into a cleansing. And so now the servants, they come to him. They come near to him. Now they're also going to be placed at a risk here because they're coming to, they're just servants. They're just his slaves. And they come to him and say, "If the prophet bid thee to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, 'Wash and be clean'? Just go do it." So he goes. And he dips himself. And we can imagine what is going on in his mind as he enters into this muddy river. And he goes beneath the water one time. And he comes out muddy. And he goes again. And three times. And four. And five. Six. Seven times. And it says, his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Dear ones, this is what Calvary does. It creates a new man. How? How? It's God. How did Naaman come out after the seventh time? Was it that river? Was it the Jordan itself? Is there some healing in that Jordan? No. It was obedience to God and what God had laid out for him to do. Had to have faith. Had to step into that river believing that he would. He did not believe it initially. It was beneath him to do that. It's beneath him to go and do that. And God was not going to change for him. God would not accept a proud person. It tells us that God rejects. A proud heart is an abomination unto him. Brothers and sisters, how carefully we need to guard our hearts of pride. Something that sneaks upon us, overtakes us, and we're totally unaware of it. Why are we unaware of it? Because we're unaware. We're looking for another way. We think we can hold on to our pride. But we don't recognize it because we have strayed away from the commandments of Jesus Christ. We don't love him in the manner in which he loved us. And therefore, we don't recognize our pride. We don't recognize it when it slaps us in the face. We don't see it. The hardest thing for us to see is our pride. Naaman would have none of what this prophet was telling him. But then he dipped himself and he comes out clean. Dear ones, unclean. The Israelite had to go wherever he went, wherever people approached him, he had to cover his mouth and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." The Syrians didn't have to quarantine. The Gentiles weren't doing that like the Israelites were. And so, but the leprosy was the same. Slowly but surely, Naaman would lose his hand. Naaman would lose his limbs. They die. You lose them. And that's all he had to look forward to. Brothers and sisters, my dear friends, we need to understand what sin is. We have to now yell out like the Israelites did, "Unclean, unclean." Do we do that? Do we do that in the face, in the reality, and as we open the scriptures we read this morning of And it made me think of this chapter too, thinking of the prodigal son and thinking of the elder son, thinking of their lives. This is the very same thing as Gehazi, the servant, exposed to truth, in the center of truth. Truth is all around him, but it had no effect on him. No effect on Gehazi, we'll find out here as we go down to him. This a man, Naaman, wants to pay. He comes to the prophet, says, he comes back. He thinks that you can purchase this. He had no money to pay for what had taken place. There was not enough money in the world to pay for what had taken place. There was no way that the prophet Elisha was going to take money. Filthy lucre, as he presented a gospel for salvation. He was loaded, ready to give it to him. Elisha says, not a chance. Not a chance. Am I going to take that? As the Lord liveth, I will receive none. And he knows that the Lord lives. And as he lives, there's no chance that I will fall into that sin. Isn't that Judas? Surrounded by truth. What effect did it have on him? Gehazi, a servant of Elisha. What did it profit him? Brothers and sisters, my dear friends, listen, you're in the presence of truth. God speaking to you, to your heart, warning you, instructing you, go to the cross. Take away that pride at the cross. Give up sin. Follow me. Truth hitting you from all sides here. Is it having an effect on you? Because we see what happens to Gehazi. Truth mattered nothing to him, though he was surrounded by it. The elder brother, staying at home, in the presence of the Father, truth all around him. We find him outside, angry. Angry. Truth had no effect on him. What does truth do to us? Does it create a new man in me? Or do I look for another avenue? Do I rely upon the baptism itself, the dunking in the water, that is what cleansed me from my sin? And do I forget what faith is, what faith brought me to, how it led me, where it took me? Do I forget faith? Is faith no longer real to me? We prayed that it would be real to us. Brothers and sisters, that's huge. That our faith would be is such that it's tangible. There's nothing that can sway us, move us away from what we believe. Life, death, riches, honor, nothing will move me as the Lord liveth. Elisha says, as he liveth, I will have none of what you're giving me. As the Lord liveth, I will not get angry at my brother and my sister. I will not talk down about my brother and my sister. I will not dabble into sin. As the Lord liveth, I can't take my Lord with me there, and so I won't go there. What does the presence, being in the presence of truth, have effect on me and you? We find Gehazi in the previous chapter. He's already run. He should have already been woken up, because the prophet told him, go. To this little child that is lying dead, the Shunammite woman's son. Go and place your mantle over him. And he did, and nothing happened. That was a warning sign for him to really. He didn't come back to Elisha and says, what's going on? Nothing happened. He ignored it. He ignored the warnings that there's no power in him. The Lord wasn't with him. Why? Because of greed. Because of his own living for self. God moved away from him. He had an opportunity to get woken up. Brothers and sisters, we have opportunities every Sunday. Every time we open the scripture, we should have opportunities every day at home to open up the scripture, to read and to be warned and to be brought to God. But he ignored that. He doesn't question Elisha. What happened? How come you're able to do it, but I couldn't? He was unclean, but he didn't recognize it. He didn't go screaming, unclean, unclean. And we know that Scripture tells us there's nothing unclean. There's nothing unclean that will inherit eternity. So he runs after. Gehazi sees. He can't believe what Naaman or what Naaman offered, and Elisha refused. Why? Covetousness. Greed. What does he say? As the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. And he goes there, and what does he do? He gives a lie. He tells a lie. Flat out lie. My master sent me. He says there's two young men of the sons of the prophets who are coming. They're going to be schooled by Elisha here. They're going to be taught. Give them. It's not for me. No, not me. It's for them. Do we ever, dear ones, cheat? Do we ever cheat and think that we're going to give it to the church? Give it for the cause? God doesn't need anything that you have that is taken wrongfully. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need anything from us. Our righteousness is as filthy rags or as leprosy. There's nothing that you could do. He shows Naaman, you can't work your way in. You can't buy your way in. You can do nothing. You need to be humbled and you need to be obedient. And he goes to Naaman, stops, and he hears this, and he says, be content, take two talents, he's asking for one, he says, take two. He's very generous. And to, running out of time here, we'll just skip down to the end here, and he says that Elisha has his servants, the servants of Naaman, carry this talent to the tower. And then he takes it, sends them back so they're not seen, puts them inside, and here he is in front of Naaman, or in front of Elisha. And he says, Gehazi, whence comest thou? Where were you? I didn't go anywhere. Thy servant went nowhither, nowhere. Now, dear ones, we know if we were to ask our children, where were you? And they say, nowhere, that you know they were somewhere. When they don't answer where they were, you know they were somewhere, and you're going to find out. Does he think here that he's going to, this is a man of God who raised up a little boy from the dead, who's performing greater miracles than Elijah. Does he think that he's going to lie to him? Here he is. Once a liar, you keep lying. He lied to Naaman. Now he has to lie to, he has to keep lying to cover the lie. And he says, I didn't go anywhere. And he says, is this a time to receive money? The gospel is given freely. Is this a time when we gave the gospel to Naaman? Are you wanting to receive? Is this a time to take money? To receive garments, olive yards, vineyards, sheep, oxen, men servants, maid servants? He says, the leprosy of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Dear ones, Gehazi was asked the question. He could have sought to repent when he couldn't raise up the boy. Elisha wouldn't send him to do something that he knew he couldn't do. He did it to show him where he was spiritually. Here, he thinks he's going to pull one on Elisha. Another opportunity was given to repent. I firmly believe that if Gehazi right here would have said, I went, I took money. Lord, please forgive me. I want to run back to Naaman and give it back to him. No, he squandered yet another opportunity to repent. And it says that he became a leper. And we find him later as he goes to the northern kingdom, makes friends there, attaches himself to others who were living a religious life, but afar from God. And dear ones, what is the story of our life? What struck me more than anything is the presence of truth had no effect on Gehazi, the elder brother, Judas, in the presence of Jesus Christ, had no effect on his greed. Do we see how dangerous we are? Not only are we born in sin, we're born in sin, then we choose sin and we practice sin. At what cost? Unclean. You will be unclean. And he left a leper. Dear ones, if we leave these doors a sinner, not taking to heart anything we heard today, anything we read, anything we thought, if we don't take thought on those things, we were in the presence of truth. We will not be held guiltless. We will be said to us too, you heard, you ignored. Gehazi heard, he ignored. And he died a leper in his sin. So may the Lord work in our hearts, dear ones. Have the faith that is very real, that will cause me to see who I am, that will humble me. And God, in his mysterious way, just like in that muddy river, he will create a new man. How? I don't know. But he creates a new man. He gives us new desires. He gives us new everything. Don't go to no one to try to change who you are and what you are. You're not going to change it. If you're not going to go to the cross and be changed there, no amount of talking. The only way I can talk to you, or we can talk to one another, to help one another, is we point to Jesus Christ. He is the answer for everything. He has to be the answer. If not, we will be leaving lepers unclean. May God bless his word upon our hearts in this day. Amen.